escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Working on a nightmare. Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
And welcome back to Hancock and Kelly Late Night on a Monday night at 9:06 here at the Voice of St. Louis. John Hancock in, Michael Kelly out. He is taking a few restful days out of town and... which he's been known to do. But no fear, Braxton Payne is here, and Braxton works for Show Me Victories. Michael Kelly, come. How long have you worked with Michael Kelly?
I started in November of 2012.
So wow, it'll be coming up on 10 years.
Coming up on 10 years then, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, I started as an intern, and then... He was gone for a little bit, and I did all the Christmas party circuit, you know, how those go in politics. Met a lot of people and then kind of just stayed along and found a job and started the little digital department have now.
You run the digital department, which has become quite a business in the political industry. It's a business everywhere, obviously. Mm-hmm. Digital advertising has completely transformed the way we market in this country.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, the ways that we can... I mean, nothing's private. I always say the only thing, if you're worried about anyone having your data, you need to have a flip phone that you pay cash for and have no credit cards. Because every device you have is linked to something. If you have, you know, a Walgreens card or a CVS card, they know what you buy. They sell that to people that want to advertise towards you. And so it's really a great way. And the thing is also with this type of advertising is you're getting ads that, you know, pertain to you. Unlike, you know, the other times where you would buy a newspaper ad and who knows if you would care about, you know, adult diapers
that
or
may be
shaving
why.
Cream.
You know, I like to play Sudoku on my iPad.
Yes, I do.
And that might be why when I go to play the Sudoku game, this guy comes up on the screen before I can get to my Sudoku game telling me how he just lost 70 pounds. And there you got the before picture. It kind of looks familiar. And then and now he's lost the 70 pounds. The guy looks amazing, this guy. And so I click through him, and then I get to my Sudoku game. But you're telling me that they know that I'm likely somebody that needs to lose a little weight.
Well, I don't think you need to lose any weight. I think you look great, John.
Thank you, Bruce.
But, yeah, I mean, also it's the type of category you fall into. You know, you're a man in his 50s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know many men in their 50s that are in the tip top shape of their life. And so that would be a typical demographic that you could target in
Junior,
that area.
What kind of ads pop up on your devices, I wonder?
Well, I can always tell how I'm doing in life based on the ads. You know, sometimes they'll tell me I need to get my act together, and other times, you know, they're trying to sell me useful products, though. It's a good barometer.
Yeah, I mean, I get...
Where are you hitting it right now, big boy?
Right now, I'm getting a lot of hair loss ads, and, you know, they have the data that I've been using Rogaine, thanks to you, Father, for 3 years now.
Well, you look good. You look good. Just get married before you lose it all. That worked for me.
Or maybe it'll be in style by the time you get
married.
Well,
you know, they do say, you know, I don't like to talk, but, you know, they do say bald is the new hairy. And
that's good news.
So many words.
That's
good news for me. What they say bald is the new hairy.
That's what they say.
Yeah, the Dana White look is in.
It is big. It's big out
Joe
there.
Joe Rogan.
I mean, and Howie think Mandel. Of all the bald presidents Howie we've Mandel. Had. We've had, there was Martin Van Buren.
Well, Barack Obama was close to, I mean, he was short hair.
No, yep, excellent point.
Yeah, he was.
I kind of got a little Obama hair going on.
George Bush had like that bald spot in the back. You know,
I actually
he had the
kind
calic.
Of shocked how few bald presidents I can think of now.
Yeah, well, that's because they don't have them. I mean, you know, presidents tend to have hair and be tall. That's kind of the way it's
Well, and worked. I think that goes to, I mean, I'm sure there's psychological studies on that because, you know, we like people that are strong. I think that's probably... You know, the typical way that we view men in America, and it's probably why we've had all men presidents.
Dwight David
point
Eisenhower.
As well.
Huh?
Eisenhower was bald, but he was a general, so you kind of...
Was Harry Truman bald?
No, he had a little hair.
Hair.
You know, and in the old days, talking Washington, Adams, Jefferson, you know, they all
wigs.
Wore wigs.
Yeah.
So, you know, they probably were bald under the wigs.
Yeah.
By the way, have you seen those... I don't know what they are, computer-generated. Mm-hmm. They show you what George Washington would look like today.
I have not. That sounds awesome,
it's
though.
It's amazing. So he's got a suit and a tie on. Have you seen those, PJ? Oh, my gosh. So they've got all of, like, the founding
like
fathers.
How, like how they would look, like, dressed, not like
yes.
how they would look physically. Obviously, they would look, you know, dead.
If they were alive today and president today, you ought to Google that.
Okay.
George Washington today. It's amazing.
And it's just somebody that did it just for fun?
Yeah, and they got all the Abraham Lincoln today, what he would look
you
like.
You know, something that I'm still, I can't believe was when they do the side-by-sides of when the president goes in the office and when they leave. I mean, you know, we all know the job is stressful. I think the only person that really didn't look different was the spray-tan president, Donald Trump.
Donald Trump looked exactly the same going out as he did coming in.
Yeah. There's no product there, no makeup, all natural.
It's all natural. It's amazing. But the presidency didn't seem to age him very much.
Yeah, they did.
There it is. There's George. PJ has done it again.
He pulled it up.
Is that amazing?
I mean, it literally looks like they're like a senator from Tennessee right in that picture.
I mean, like
Bob Corker. He looks like Bob Corker from Texas.
Yeah,
talking about George Washington, folks. If you're watching at home,
if you don't have
to
screens,
the left hand of your dial is where the picture of George Washington would be.
I have seen one of these where they show what Trump would look like bald, and it's honestly a pretty good look.
I mean, yeah, good. It's very subjective, I think, in that fact.
Well, we've kind of blown up this segment.
I was
going to talk about cryptocurrency because I know nothing about this. And Braxton, you were talking. About Odell Beckham Jr., who signed a contract with the Rams, and what was his deal?
Yeah, so I'm probably the worst millennial. I think all my friends have invested in crypto and Ethereum or, you know, any type of crypto. They're very into it. They follow it on a regular basis. I think all our social media platforms, John Jr., I think we, you know, see this all the time. But Odell Beckham Jr. signed a contract with the Rams this year for $750,000.
Not a bad payday.
No, and so he decided when he signed the contract to take it in Bitcoin. At the time, Bitcoin was around, it was worth about $64,000. Today, it's only worth $35,000.
Therefore, $35,000 for what?
For a Bitcoin.
For Bitcoin. Per a thousand, you know, like, and it's so it's just worth less. It's worth about half. Let's just go with that.
All right.
And so now his contract would be worth about $412,000, but he has to pay taxes on that full 750, which with you add up the federal tax rate and the tax rate in California, it's only about 10.3%. I did look this up. So at that income bracket, is about 50.3%. So this year, Odell Beckham Jr. netted in the state of California about $35,000 as a professional athlete, which the medium income or the medium salary for a teacher in California is $54,000.
Yeah. Well, it costs
in California.
A lot of money.
So, I mean, so he's making less than a public school teacher in California this
Odell
year.
Odell Beckham, you know, I bet if you asked him, he'd be willing to pay $35,000 to get away from Baker Mayfield.
So, I do not understand this whole Bitcoin business. It's a fake construct. Is that
Yeah, right. No,
it's the future of currency is what the true believers say. I don't know too much about it, to be honest with you. All I know is that they're fanatical about it. Even during this crash, they're saying, hold. This thing's going to the moon.
Yeah, so in the past week, a lot of these cryptos have lost about half of their value.
There's nothing behind it. I mean, there's
no guarantee. There's no nothing. And a lot of these, so like in here in St. Louis, in any major city, you can get a crypto credit card and you can go to crypto ATMs and withdraw money into real U.S. cash. There's a couple in Clayton that I know of that my friends use. And essentially, it's just like a lot of these, you'll buy a dollar worth of crypto and it's worth 0.00003 cents or whatever in U.S. dollars. But over the time, if it goes to 0.0006, you essentially just doubled your money and you're allowed to cash out. And I know a lot of my friends, I don't know if your friends do this, is that they use their crypto to do sports betting. Because a lot of these companies will allow you to upload your crypto account so they can bet on anything, anywhere, even if it's legal in the state or not, to bet on sports.
Yeah, a lot of these Russian books offshore were in states like Missouri where it's not legal. You know, you'd rather just pay in Bitcoin than give them your credit card information.
So do you actually use Bitcoin, son?
I don't really use it too much. I go through speculative periods where I'll buy some, see what happens. Yeah, there was the Shibu Inu coin where I owned a few million of those at 0.00001 penny.
You know, sometimes when the parenting years are over, there's stuff you just don't want to know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, though. I remember back in the day, I was telling you got to get in on Bitcoin, and had you listened to me.
Yeah,
I could retire from this.
And the one thing that I really don't understand is these NFTs, which are virtual like playing cards,
non-fungible tokens, I think. And I don't know what
you
can
buy spots on the French Open court, the Australian Open court, and if the ball hits it, it increases in value. And it's all virtual. I don't understand it at all.
Well, I still remember you could buy a name a star after your wife. Remember that back in the day?
Yes, I actually do have a star named after me after my 16th birthday. I don't know. It's somewhere up there.
Well, I guess if you can't find it, it doesn't exist, right?
If
a star named Braxton Payne is
probably,
not
you probably
findable.
Could Google it and figure it out.
It could have imploded by now, too.
Well, it could have. Jeez, as fun as this is, boys, we're going to step away. When we come back, we're going to get a little serious. President Biden's been in the news today, and Russia is poised, it seems, to invade Ukraine. We'll break that down when we come back. It's Hancock and Kelly Late Night on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app That's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Well, we're all focused on, you know, crime here locally. We're focused on inflation that's affecting all of us. But internationally, one of the biggest things happening in the world right now is the amassing of troops on the Ukraine border by Russia. Vladimir Putin, who has never believed that Ukraine was a sovereign country, continues to believe it's part of Russia. And he has at various times, he had an incursion into Crimea back in 2014. And he looks like he's poised to go in again. A lot of jousting with the United States, Germany involved. And the interesting thing with Germany is that they are increasingly dependent on Russia for their energy resources, oil and natural gas. And Germany has kind of kept its head down while all of this saber rattling has gone on in Russia. And that's kind of put the U.S. and NATO in kind of a tricky, tricky spot. And President Biden had the gaffe last week where he said if it's a minor incursion, those sanctions won't be as much, blah, blah, blah. So here's the question on the table, gentlemen, and I'll start with you, Braxton.
Yep.
If and when Russia does enter militarily Ukraine, what is the appropriate response from the United States and our Western allies?
Yeah, I, number one, I think it has to be a unified front. NATO is put in that position for a reason. And this is exactly what it's for. It's for these type of aggressions against countries. U.S. should not and will not, I don't believe, go in alone. It has to be a unified front with NATO. And the support that the Biden administration has been giving NATO has restored a lot of those relationships, that were kind of, I don't want to say fractured, maybe bruised under the Trump administration. It wasn't the best relationship with NATO. So we're going to, I think if Putin does decide to invade a foreign country, I do think there's going to be, a swift reaction. The other thing I will say, too, is, just the other day, the president of Ukraine did say, he had a conversation with Joe Biden and said it was, a great conversation. He feels supported. And I think that's really important because you have to, and we've armed Ukraine in the past. I think they're pretty well armed with U.S., military
and
rifles
continue,
and cannons.
And continue to do so.
Not that they can't defend themselves, but I do think having NATO support from these major countries like the U.S., Great Britain, et cetera, is going to be really important to that area. And, you also think about, we can't solve all the world's problems. And Crimea has been a world conflict since, the Ottoman era. So it's going to be something that's really interesting. That's geopolitical as well.
John Hancock, 8,500 U.S. troops have been placed on heightened alert as these tensions rise in Russia. Does the United States, should they consider some kind of military overt action here?
So obviously it's a tough question because Putin, I don't think, is going to stop at Ukraine. And if he isn't met with any resistance, nothing's going to stop him from his grand desire of reuniting the USSR. I think Kazakhstan, all the stands will be shortly down the line if he's able to go in Ukraine.
Belarus
unchecked.
Is in the crosshairs.
Belarus is essentially already a Russian puppet country. And I think that's his desire for a lot of the things over there. One thing that is interesting, though, is that it was during the Obama administration when Crimea was annexed, mm-hmm. and Now he's on Ukraine's doorstep when Biden is president, and I thought we had a Russian asset we were hearing in the White House who was compromised, and Putin didn't choose to do any of this when Trump was in office.
Yeah, I mean, that's undeniable. And, you know, the sanctions that were in place during the Trump years were pretty extreme on against Russia, and a lot of the oligarch money was shut down. Now, there were efforts to unlock that during the Trump years, but unsuccessful in the administration. And, you know, the clearly economic sanctions are going to be a massive part of whatever the United States response would be to this. Do you think economic sanctions, Braxton, are enough?
I mean, we saw it. I mean, I didn't see it, but, you know, looking at the history, it's during the Cold War. I mean, the economic sanctions that happened against the USSR did have an effect because, you know, people went hungry. And so I think that's something that you can definitely do, because once the people are not with you, it's really hard to explain a war to your own people that when they, you know, can't put food on the table. I think one thing too here that I think a lot of the countries are watching is there's a lot of, you know, not stable governments in this region. You know, Hungary, Bosnia is going through what could look like another type of genocide that's happening within their government right now that is, you know, being largely ignored by the West. You know, obviously here we hear about it probably more than anyone else because of our large Bosnian population. But there are a lot of these countries are struggling, you know, with economics. I mean, their economies are not as strong as they should be. So that always opens the door for Russia. And you mentioned, you know, during the Obama era, that was when the whole Crimea thing happened in the Obama administration. A lot of it had to do with, you know, the Great Recession that happened in the world. I mean, Ukraine was poor. Russia used it as a false narrative, saying that these people in Ukraine want us to come in and help them because, you know, they have no food, they have nothing.
And Putin has never acknowledged that Ukraine's a free country. So,
of course.
And, you know, this is going to be fascinating. I don't know that the levers that the United States have are that many or necessarily that effective. And to your point, John, if we let this incursion go, where do they stop? And at some point, do they cross a line that is, you know, irreversible? And we've got to get in. It's going to be a very fascinating, very delicate situation.
And if China's looking at this, they may very well be gauging the response and see for their ambitions in Taiwan.
Yeah, the one thing I am seeing. I don't follow as closely as I probably should. I don't think many Americans follow world politics as closely as we probably should, because it does affect us here at home. But there does seem to be a more united front now against Russia and these types of things than ever before. You mentioned that Germany has largely stayed silent. I think it's also interesting they're kind of going through a transitional period where Merkel's going to retire and they're going to have a new prime minister. I believe it's what they have there. So it'll be really interesting to see the differences in leadership. And if that Germany prime minister's race affects of, you know, the Russian invasion into the Ukraine.
The voice you hear is Braxton Payne. The other voice you hear is John Hancock Jr. I'm John Hancock. Michael Kelly is away. He'll be back on Friday, and we'll be back after just a very, very brief little break. And the college degree, is it? Maybe it ain't what it used to be. We'll talk about that after this on KMOX. Welcome back to Hancock and Kelly Late Night on a Monday night in St. Louis, Missouri. We've been following the news of Highway 64, which I believe is still shut down in both directions while they investigate the two police officers being struck by a vehicle while they were working a separate accident. Both officers, we think, are...
Yeah, the last update from the St. Louis Police Department Twitter is that they were at the hospital, what Maria Kina reported, and they also... some people have tweeted that the highway is still closed both ways on Highway 64 at Kings Highway.
Well, that'll make for a fascinating commute on the way home this evening. I don't spend a lot of time on Highway 44 in my day. I used to, you know, when I worked at Six Flags, I was on Highway 44.
Oh, yeah. Famous piano man.
I was, but not anymore. That was back when I was paying for college. And I had this job at Six Flags. I played the piano 6 days a week, 6 hours a day. And they paid me $500 a week back in, I mean, this was a long time ago.
Jeez.
And I was able to pay for my entire college education.
When people went to Six Flags.
Well, they still go to Six Flags. Yeah. I mean, it's a fine play. You got yeah.
Hasn't been updated since the last time you played there. I guarantee you that.
You know, back in those days, we had myself were out there. We had the barbershop quartet strolled around the park, and of course, one of the great clowns to ever grace the streets of St. Louis, Doodles the Clown. He was a phenomenally talented clown. He drove around on this little tricycle. How he got on that tricycle at 290 pounds is beyond me. It was amazing. And may have been one of the most talented chess players I've ever encountered in my life. Doodles and I would, during break time, we'd strike up a game of chess up there in the entertainer's office. And what the guy could do with the balloon animals was truly amazing. I mean, I've seen him make dachshunds and
did he learn that at clown college?
Right. Huh?
Did he learn that at clown college?
I don't know. The guy was something else. And, traditional red nose. And he was phenomenal. And the kids loved him, you know. And,
well, I'm sure.
So Doodles was great. He may have gone to clown college, but...
I think it's Clown Academy.
It could well be. Yeah. Well, you know, you
clown technical school.
You got your used clown, and then you got the sad clown, and there are different kind of clowns.
Of course.
The Doodles scary ones. Was explaining this to me during one of our games of chess back in the day. So the four of us in here, PJ, you got a college degree. Yes, he does. What's your degree in there, Matt Pajeski?
I have a Bachelor of Arts in Audio Production.
Well, now there's a man that's doing what his degree
exactly.
is. Because at this very minute, he is engaged in audio production. That's tremendous. Well done.
Remarkable.
Thank you.
Braxton, your degree?
My degree was in applied sociology, and I had six minors.
Six minors?
Yeah, because I couldn't decide what I wanted to do. So I wanted to be an algebra teacher, a social worker. You know, I wanted to do it all. And from the great Fompon University. And I love it. I do use it every so often, but it's kind of like I use parts of it. You know, it's a liberal arts degree, so you kind of learn, you know, a little bit about everything.
And your core business now is digital marketing, right?
Right, yeah. And, you know, a lot of what I do, too, is like figuring out how organizations tick and what would work towards, you know, working for either like a labor union or nonprofits or candidates. So a lot of work that we do is those three swaths. And a lot of what we have to do is understand, you know, those organizations, those members, or, you know, people in the community that would be interested in giving to those nonprofits to continue their mission.
Yeah. John Hancock, you are in commercial real estate, and your degree was in finance, if memory
finance
serves.
And banking.
Huh.
At the University of Missouri.
There you go. So has your college preparation been impactful in your professional career?
Certainly it's been helpful. I don't use everything that I learned. Most useful class I took in college, though, was actually on Excel, just learning how to run Microsoft Excel, do all kinds of in-depth things there. And that's, you know, a program I use almost daily.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, too, with college, especially liberal arts degrees, is, like, understanding how you can apply it to the real world. And I think one of the things, the best thing that I had to do was, obviously, I had to do an internship to graduate. And I got my internship with Mike Kelly, and that's how it became my job.
The rest is history.
Yeah, so obviously that was great, but I think a lot of my friends that had the similar degree were able to use, you know, these internships and these real world applications of their degree, and that's really what drove them to their current jobs. It's not so much what they learned in the classroom or in a textbook.
So I've got a theory. You know, college has gotten so expensive; it's out of reach. Most families can't afford to pay for college, and so the kids come out of college with these massive student loans. And I met a young person the other day, works here at Odyssey, as a matter of fact, and very bright, very capable, very talented. And she has gone to community college for 2 years. She's going to get her associate's degree. She's already out working, got a good job here at Odyssey. I think that this notion that you've got to have a college degree in order to succeed might be somewhat outdated. Agreed?
Yeah, I would totally agree. I mean, I think it's a lot of these universities. So I think it's for two reasons. You know, if you want to go to a big school, you want that atmosphere. A lot of it, though, is these smaller schools like I went to. It is the connections. You know, you want to learn, you know, make friends. So-and-so knows so-and-so, and that's how you get these jobs. I am seeing an influx. Like, for example, like if I have kids soon and, you know, in 18 years they decide to go to college, what I'm going to push them to do is, you know, in Missouri we have the great A-plus program where, you know, you can get 2 years of free community college if you do XYZ. Number one, they should do that if they don't know what they want to do. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Yeah. I wish I would have done community college, knock it out, instead of going to a school that was, you know, $26,000 a year to go to. But also these tech schools, and I mean, in St. Louis especially, we have amazing labor unions. I mean, these apprenticeship programs can provide you with a really, really great job at 18, 19 years old, but also you're able to retire at 55 or 65, depending on, you know, what trade. You know, some trades you can't do until you're 65, and you're able to retire with an annuity and a pension at the age of 55 and live the rest of your full life.
Yeah. What do you think, John, about college and the value of that degree?
And I think certainly with so many people getting these bachelor's degrees, you know, the value just inherently has gone down because of that. You know, it's oversaturating a lot of these job markets, and, you know, trade schools, you know, as mentioned, are a very viable alternative for a lot of people. You know, they're fulfilling careers. You can make a lot of money and you're not stuck sitting in a desk, you know.
Yeah. What did you think when you entered college some years ago? That what were you thinking about professional career at that point?
So I didn't have it figured out then. I figured business is the way to go. It gives you the most flexibility when you get out. You know, followed the old man into politics for a little bit there right out of college. Didn't stick with that.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, I think too is, like, you know, a lot of times you don't know. You're 17, 18 years old. You don't know what you want to do with your life. I mean, I think that's the common swath of a lot of people. But also you think about, like, I have, you know, if you look at these, you know, we say there's a lot of jobs out there right now. A lot of these jobs that are quality jobs require 2, 3, 4, 5 years experience. Well, you can't get that when you just graduate college. So what are you supposed to do? So I have a lot of friends, I'm sure you do, John, that, you know, go to grad school just to put it off, you know, try to figure out, okay, maybe if I have a grad school degree, they can ignore that I don't have any experience. And then that just is more money.
I'll tell you something the two of you have in common. Both of you have served in the capacity of an official.
Oh, yeah,
Braxton, we have. Officiating volleyball games. John Hancock Jr. behind the plate, umpiring baseball.
Regular
games.
Joe West.
Yeah, Joe West. How many years did you were you a umpire?
I did 3 years in high school. Some good memories. I remember when I first got there, you know, I wasn't too confident in myself. And if a coach was giving me lip, all of a sudden his team was getting the calls. But pretty quickly, I figured, as the Joe West school of thought, that, you know, my way or the highway.
Yeah. And so what age levels did you do? Did you do, like, you know, middle school kids, grade school kids?
These were grade school. They stuck me at the worst assignments, 9 and 10 year old kid pitch, where they couldn't hit the strike zone if it was broadside of the barn. And I'm calling strikes when I first got up there, like the MLB.
Yeah. So I started officiating indoor soccer. My dad worked for Veta Sports Clubs since before I was born. So I started at 14 years old. I started doing indoor soccer.
Yeah.
And I was doing, you know, younger, obviously kids younger than me, but at 16, I was doing, you know, high school games. And
nice.
I mean, it was just, you know, constantly being chirped at. I stopped doing soccer because, you know, it just became too much. And I've been a volleyball official now, actually. This girls' volleyball season will be my 12th year doing high school girls' volleyball.
So the position of authority, is that something that's appealing?
Definitely not for me. The reason I like volleyball, number one, it's the nicest sport to officiate. In St. Louis, it's the smallest community, so everyone kind of knows everyone. Uh-huh. And if you have a good reputation, which I like to think I do, I get along with the coaches. The coaches a lot of times are my friends. So I'm able to stay within the sport without having to be a coach, which is a lot of time. So I'm able to pick and choose when I officiate. I mean, I started when I was 19, so I started doing high school my first year out of high school.
You don't get a trip on the authority.
No. I mean, you could ask most of the coaches. I think they would probably agree with me. I mean, I'm sure there's been situations where I've been in a bad mood and, you know, gave a yellow card or a red card that probably wasn't, you know, super justified. But I've been beneficial. I was one of the youngest state officials ever to ref a state final.
Wow.
I've refed, I guess, 6 state final matches, boys and girls. Nice. Here at the state of Missouri. And I still love doing it. I'm doing boys season that starts here in April. I do it every year. I usually do about 2 to 3 games a week.
You got the little black and white?
No. So we wear just a nice white jersey with a Misha, Missouri State High School Athletic Association patch. And as my wife likes to call it, a restaurant attire from the waist down, black pants and black shoes.
Nice.
You know, it's like we're working in an app.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
And welcome back to Hancock and Kelly Late Night on a Monday night in St. Louis, Missouri. We've been following the news of Highway 64, which I believe is still shut down in both directions while they investigate the two police officers being struck by a vehicle while they were working a separate accident. Both officers, we think, are...
Yeah, the last update from the St. Louis Police Department Twitter is that they're at the hospital, what Maria Kina reported. And they also... some people have tweeted that the highway is still closed both ways on Highway 64 at Kings Highway.
Well, that'll make for a fascinating commute on the way home this evening. I don't spend a lot of time on Highway 44 in my day. I used to, you know, when I worked at Six Flags, I was on Highway 44.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Famous piano man.
I was, but not anymore. That was back when I was paying for college. And I had this job at Six Flags. I played the piano 6 days a week, 6 hours a day. And they paid me $500 a week back in, I mean, this was a long time ago.
Jeez.
And I was able to pay for my entire college education.
When people went to Six Flags.
Well, they still go to Six Flags. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a fine place. You got it
hasn't been updated since the last time you played there, I guarantee you that.
You know, back in those days, we had, you know, myself were out there. We had the barbershop quartet, strolled around the park. And, of course, one of the great clowns to ever grace the streets of St. Louis, Doodles the Clown. He was a phenomenally talented clown. It drove around on this little tricycle. How he got on that tricycle at 290 pounds is beyond me. It was amazing, and may have been one of the most talented chess players I've ever encountered in my life. Doodles and I would during break time we'd strike up a game of chess up there in the entertainer's office, and what the guy could do with the balloon animals was truly amazing. I mean, I've seen him make dachshunds and
did he learn that at clown college?
Right. Huh?
Did he learn that at clown college?
I don't know. The guy was something else, and you know, traditional red nose, and he was phenomenal, and the kids loved him. You know, and
well, I'm sure.
So Doodles was great. He may have gone to clown college, but
I think it's Clown Academy.
It could well be. Yeah. Well, you know, you
Clown got Technical
your,
School.
You got your old used clown, and then you got the sad clown, and there's a different kind of clowns.
Of course.
The scary ones. Was explaining this to me during one of our games of chess back in the day. So the four of us in here, PJ, you got a college degree. Yes, he does. What's your degree in there, Matt Pajeski?
I have a Bachelor of Arts in Audio Production.
Well, now there's a man that's doing what his degree
exactly.
is. Because at this very minute, he is engaged in audio production. That's tremendous. Well done.
Remarkable.
Braxton, your degree?
My degree was in applied sociology, and I had six minors.
Six minors?
Yeah, because I couldn't decide what I wanted to do. So I wanted to be an algebra teacher, a social worker. You know, I wanted to do it all. And from the great Fompon University. And I love it. I do use it every so often, but it's kind of like I use parts of it. You know, it's a liberal arts degree, so you kind of learn, you know, a little bit about everything.
And your core business now is digital marketing, right?
Right, yeah. And, you know, a lot of what I do, too, is like figuring out how organizations tick and what would work towards, you know, working for either like a labor union or nonprofits or candidates. So a lot of work that we do is those three swaths. And a lot of what we have to do is understand, you know, those organizations, those members, or, you know, people in the community that would be interested in giving to those nonprofits to continue their mission.
Yeah. John Hancock, you are in commercial real estate, and your degree was in finance, if memory serves.
Finance and banking.
Huh.
At the University of Missouri.
There you go. So has your college preparation been impactful in your professional career?
Certainly it's been helpful. You know, I don't use everything that I learned. Most useful class I took in college, though, was actually on Excel, just learning how to run Microsoft Excel, do all kinds of in-depth things there. And that's, you know, a program I use almost daily.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, too, with college, especially liberal arts degrees, is like understanding how you can apply it to the real world. And I think one of the things, the best thing that I had to do was, obviously, I had to do an internship to graduate. And I got my internship with Mike Kelly, and that's how it became my job.
The rest is history.
Yeah, so obviously that was great. But I think a lot of my friends that had the similar degree were able to use, you know, these internships and these real world you know, applications of their degree, and that's really what drove them to their current jobs. It's not so much what they learned in the classroom or in a textbook.
So I've got a theory. You know, college has gotten so expensive; it's out of reach. Most families can't afford to pay for college, and so the kids come out of college with these massive student loans. And I met a young person the other day, works here at Odyssey, as a matter of fact, and very bright, very capable, very talented. And she has gone to community college for 2 years. She's going to get her associate's degree. She's already out working, got a good job here at Odyssey. I think that this notion that you've got to have a college degree in order to succeed might be somewhat outdated. Agreed?
Yeah, I would totally agree. I mean, I think it's a lot of these universities. So I think it's for two reasons. You know, if you want to go to a big school, you want that atmosphere. A lot of it, though, is these smaller schools like I went to. It is the connections. You know, you want to learn, you know, make friends. So-and-so knows so-and-so, and that's how you get these jobs. I am seeing an influx. Like, for example, like if I have kids soon and, you know, in 18 years they decide to go to college, what I'm going to push them to do is, you know, in Missouri we have the great A-plus program where, you know, you can get 2 years of free community college if you do XYZ. Number one, they should do that if they don't know what they want to do. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Yeah. I wish I would have done community college, knocked it out instead of going to school that was, you know, $26,000 a year to go to. But also these tech schools, and I mean, in St. Louis especially, we have amazing labor unions. I mean, these apprenticeship programs can provide you with a really, really great job at 18, 19 years old, but also you're able to retire at 55 or 65, depending on, you know, what trade. You know, some trades you can't do until you're 65, and you're able to retire with an annuity and a pension at the age of 55 and live the rest of your full life.
Yeah, what do you think, John, about college and the value of that degree?
Yeah, I think certainly with so many people getting these bachelor's degrees, you know, the value just inherently has gone down because of that. You know, it's oversaturating a lot of these job markets and, you know, trade schools, you know, as mentioned, are a very viable alternative for a lot of people. You know, they're fulfilling careers. You can make a lot of money and you're not stuck sitting in a desk, you know.
Yeah. What did you think when you entered college some years ago? What were you thinking about professional career at that point?
So I didn't have it figured out then. I figured business is the way to go. It gives you the most flexibility when you get out. You know, followed the old man into politics for a little bit there right out of college. Didn't stick with that.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, is like, you know, a lot of times you don't know. You're 17, 18 years old. You don't know what you want to do with your life. I mean, I think that's the common swath of a lot of people. But also you think about, like, I have, you know, if you look at these, you know, we say there's a lot of jobs out there right now. A lot of these jobs that are quality jobs require 2, 3, 4, 5 years experience. Well, you can't get that when you just graduate college. So right. What are you supposed to do? So I have a lot of friends, I'm sure you do, John, that, you know, go to grad school just to put it off, you know, try to figure out, okay, maybe if I have a grad school degree, they can ignore that I don't have any experience. And then that just is more money.
I'll tell you something the two of you have in common. Both of you have served in the capacity of an official.
Oh, yeah,
Braxton, we have. Officiating volleyball games. John Hancock Jr. behind the plate, umpiring baseball.
Regular
games.
Joe West.
Yeah, Joe West. How many years did you, were you a umpire?
I did 3 years in high school. Good memories. I remember when I first got there, you know, I wasn't too confident in myself. And if a coach was giving me lip, all of a sudden his team was getting the calls. But pretty quickly, I figured, is the Joe West school of thought that, you know, my way or the highway.
Yeah. And so what age levels did you do? Did you do, like, you know, middle school kids, grade school kids?
These were grade school. They stuck me at the worst assignments, 9 and 10 year old kid pitch, where they couldn't hit the strike zone if it was broadside of the barn. And I'm calling strikes when I first got up there, like the MLB.
Yeah. So I started officiating indoor soccer. My dad worked for Veta Sports Clubs since before I was born. So I started at 14 years old. I started doing indoor soccer.
Yeah.
And I was doing, you know, younger, obviously kids younger than me, but at 16, I was doing, you know, high school games. And
nice.
I mean, it was just, you know, constantly being chirped at. I stopped doing soccer because, you know, it just became too much. And I've been a volleyball official now, actually. This girl's volleyball season will be my 12th year doing high school girls volleyball.
So the position of authority, is that something that's appealing?
Definitely not for me. The reason I like volleyball, number one, it's the nicest sport to officiate. In St. Louis, it's the smallest community, so everyone kind of knows everyone. Uh-huh. And if you have a good reputation, which I like to think I do, I get along with the coaches. The coaches a lot of times are my friends. So I'm able to stay within the sport without having to be a coach, which is a lot of time. So I'm able to pick and choose when I officiate. I mean, I started when I was 19, so I started doing high school my first year out of high school.
You don't get a trip on the authority.
No. I mean, you could ask most of the coaches. I think they would probably agree with me. I'm sure there's been situations where I've been in a bad mood and, you know, gave a yellow card or a red card that probably wasn't, you know, super justified. But I've been beneficial. I was one of the youngest state officials ever to ref a state final.
Wow.
I've refed, I guess, 6 state final matches, boys and girls, here at the state of Missouri. And I still love doing it. I'm doing boys season. It starts here in April. I do it every year. I usually do about 2 to 3 games a week.
You got the little black and white?
No, so we wear just a nice white jersey with a MSHA, Missouri State High School Athletic Association patch. And as my wife likes to call it, a restaurant attire from the waist down, black pants and black shoes. You know, it's like we're working in Applebee's.
So, son, being a baseball umpire, did you get a rush of adrenaline with having all that authority at your fingertips?
I got a rush of adrenaline when I figured out the hard way that the umpires need to wear cups. took a foul tip. The worst thing that happened to me, though, is this poor kid was the catcher, and he was crowding the plate, and I didn't notice it in time. I should have said something. Mm-hmm. And pitch comes. This kid takes a swing, hits this catcher in the side of the head. Ooh. He's on the ground, rolling in pain. He's crying. The parents are upset. And I had to call time and give the guy first base because it was catcher's interference.
Right.
Well, his head was there.
And
he
I think
locked.
One of the things, too, you talk about, like, the position of authority. I think me and Junior are very similar. We like people to like us. So it's, being an official sometimes doesn't really gel well with that. And
yeah, not at all.
I mean, that's the lucky. I like the kids and I like the coaches. The parents are a whole different story because they don't know all the rules and they'll just, you know, say things that are not even rules half the
parents
time.
Parents are tough. Well, when we come back, our last segment here on Hancock and Kelly Late Night. If you could live anywhere in America or the world, where would it be? We'll tackle that with the boys after this on KMOX. And we're back. It's John Hancock. Michael Kelly is away. He is enjoying some time off, some much deserved time off. He'll be back with us Friday morning when we sit in, as we do every Friday, for Charlie Brennan and Amy Mark Scores. He'll be back Sunday for the television show on Fox 2 at 8:30 a.m. in the morning. But we have a couple of very fine fellows filling in this evening on The Voice of St. Louis. Braxton Payne with Show Me Victories. John Hancock Jr., who is taking a week of hiatus, yes, as he begins a new job.
Well deserved.
Tell us about the new job, or what you're able to tell us about the new job.
Yeah, so I'm working in commercial real estate, going to CBRE, and I'll be relocating to Chicago for this position.
Now, excited?
Very excited, very excited. You know, love St. Louis. I'll be back for sure, but ready to check out a new city for a couple years.
Now, like, would you be selling real estate, like a real estate agent commercially, or is it more of
I won't be on the broker side.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really can't say a whole lot. It's all of that stuff is confidential, I have learned. And but he's got it. Sounds like a really cool position. So you're moving to Chicago. Now, this is a situation where you're not completely unknowing of people. You've got friends and folks you went to college with that live there.
Yep, yeah, I have some people from high school up there and quite a few people from Mizzou, too.
So that'll be kind of nice. So the question I was wondering, because I've lived here my whole life. I went to graduate school just for a short time in New Jersey, and then I commuted for a couple of years to Columbus, Ohio for work. Did that within the last 10 years.
I remember that.
But St. Louis has been my home my entire life, and I don't suspect I will ever leave here. But if you could work anywhere, live anywhere, is this the place you would choose, Braxton? And if so, why? And if not, why?
The place I would choose, I'm not quite sure. I love St. Louis. I love the affordability of being able to have a home here, you know, eventually raise a family here. I do think there's a lot of benefits in that. And I do know a lot of people born and raised here as well. But if I could choose, you know, salary withstanding to work anywhere, I would probably have to choose New York City. I love,
really?
Yeah. So I love New York City. I love that there's always something to do. There's always stuff going on. You know, if I could afford it, would love a summer home in the Hamptons. You know, I mean, who wouldn't love that? I don't love the cold weather. So that's something I would have to deal with. I would love, you know, an additional place in South Florida. Love Miami. So I could definitely live there. But if I had to work anywhere, it would be one of those two places for sure.
Fascinating. How about you, John?
I think for me, it would be Orange County, California, either Huntington Beach or Newport Beach. I love the laid-back atmosphere out there. It's incredible. The Pacific Ocean, I prefer strongly over the Atlantic.
That's fair.
Beautiful views. The people, much more laid-back than they are in New York and on the East Coast.
Yeah, I love the meanness.
But what about the wildfires? So you got a lot of wildfires.
If salary's not a concern, hopefully close enough to the ocean, that's not gonna be a problem.
What about you, John? Where would you, if you had to live anywhere but also work? So you're not just, you know, kicking your feet up.
Yeah, you know, the politics of California would be a turnoff for me.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's very expensive there. The taxes are high. The government's very liberal. You know, I've spent a little time in Texas. I kind of like Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my brother lives in North Carolina, and he's got a really sweet deal. He just bought a home in the mountains of the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is one of the most beautiful spots in this country. That would be kind of cool as well. And now, you know, with telecommuting, people aren't going into the office like they used to.
You work from wherever. Mm-hmm.
And you work from home.
Yeah, for the most part.
Many days.
Yeah.
John, you've been working from home for months now, or maybe over a year now. So, and I've worked from home since before the pandemic, and I love it. I mean, the convenience of it and so forth. So, assuming that you could live anywhere. And my business partner lives in Jefferson City.
Right.
So we're not even together.
Yeah. I think another city of the two would be, like you said, North Carolina is Charleston. If you've ever been to South Carolina,
yes,
Charleston. I mean, that
great.
You talk about, you know, if you're worried about taxes or anything like that, they're not there in Charleston. And it has, I mean, the food scene in Charleston is one of the best that you'll see in the country.
What about abroad, London or Paris?
So I've only been to London. I could definitely do London. It's like New York. But if I had to pick anywhere in Europe, it would for sure be Greece. I mean,
really?
Or south of France. I mean, the lifestyle there. I mean, where we stayed, the places, like I was talking about my honeymoon earlier in Lefkada, they're only open from May 15th to October 15th, and then they all go on unemployment for those winter months, and they just live the life. I mean, it's a much slower pace. You know, the food's great. I could definitely see myself, if I had to pick a place, it would be south of France or Greece for sure.
I think I'd go Warsaw. I've heard great things about the club scene, and you know, the Polish people, I know a few, they're great, seem always a fun time.
Now, PJ over here is Polish.
Hey, now.
Have you been to Warsaw?
I've never been to Warsaw, but I studied abroad in Austria, and I took a trip to Krakow, Poland.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then from there, went to a small town called Oświęcim, which is actually the home of Auschwitz, the concentration camp. So it was a very impactful trip, and I met up with some like distant Polish cousins. I went with my uncle, who's crazy obsessed with genealogy. He tracked down some long-lost Polish cousins, and we had a home-cooked dinner at their house. It was amazing.
Stan Musial was Polish.
Yes, he was.
Of course, the greatest cardinal.
If you could live anywhere abroad and not work, like this is just, you know, you're able just to live off the land type thing.
I'd go to London. London. Or Essex. I'd be over in
So no place there where you couldn't speak the language?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to learn, you know.
What about if you had to go somewhere like in the Caribbean or down south or not Europe?
Nicaragua.
Oh,
you know, you've got beautiful land, very cheap down there.
It's very cheap. And Belize is also very cheap.
Right. And you got a lot of beachfront property available. I've heard you can live for next to nothing down there. You eat and the people take good care of you. If you take good care of them, they take good care of you.
There's these videos of people that are like, you know, backpackers that go to the Caribbean and they try to live, you know, off $1.50 a day.
Yeah.
And they pretty much can do it. What about you, Junior?
Buenos Aires, Argentina was my fallback plan if things hit the fan here, but they've been hit by just a rampant run of hyperinflation. So that's maybe Santiago, Chile.
There's this place that I've been able to vacation at. It's this island called Mystique. It's owned by a corporation
now,
in Britain.
Okay.
Yes. So it's part of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, but the island has actually kind of not annexed, but it's owned by a private corporation. So the whole island is run by this corporation and based in London. And it's absolutely amazing. Tommy Hilfiger has a house there. Mick Jagger, I saw him when I was down there. He owns a home there. There's about 60 homes on the whole island. It's absolutely unbelievable. And you got to get there by one of those planes that just has, you know, six seats in it. But it's definitely in the whole island, you pretty much get around by a golf cart. I mean,
well, I'm not going to leave this country. I think it's the greatest country in the history of the world. And PJ, you mentioned Auschwitz earlier. And so I think I'll leave us with this story. I had dinner with a St. Louis dermatologist a few weeks ago, and he was telling me the story of his mother, who was taken prisoner by the Nazis, placed in a concentration camp. Brutalized and near death. And in May of 1945, the 71st Infantry Battalion of the United States Army liberated that concentration camp, and she was freed. She was given a Hershey bar by the U.S. troops. She was 19. And given a Hershey bar by the U.S. troops, the first food she'd had in years, and fell in love with this country. And went back to her home in Czechoslovakia, which soon fell under communist domination by Russia. Got married. She and her husband were both physicians, but very poor because it was a communist country. And their kids were not able to go on to school because they were suspect, because both parents were educated. And in the dark of night, at midnight, they escaped Czechoslovakia through Yugoslavia. Eventually ended up in Sweden, eventually ended up in New York City, where young George, her 10-year-old son at the time they left, went to college at New York University, went to medical school, moved to St. Louis at Washington University, became a physician, a very good one here in town. And he explains that he grew up under a communist regime and experienced true freedom for the first time in his life in the United States of America, and set up a medical practice, raised a family, considers this the greatest country in the history of the world. I do too. And I won't be leaving her anytime soon.
It's a great story.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, there's remarkable stories like that everywhere
all the time.
In this country.
I mean, I have many friends that are, you know, Bosnian immigrants, that, you know, first generation my age. And they're, you know, going over to their house and talking to their parents about what they experienced.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of them speak four or five languages. And it's now, just absolutely insane.
Now home to a growing number of Afghan refugees as well. Braxton Payne, thank you so much for your time. John Hancock.
Thank you.
Great to have you on board this evening.
Yep.
Matt Pajeski, thank you as well. Stick around to listen to the voice of St. Louis, KMOX. And we're back. It's John Hancock. Michael Kelly is away. He is enjoying some time off, some much deserved time off. He'll be back with us Friday morning when we sit in, as we do every Friday, for Charlie Brennan and Amy Mark Scores. He'll be back Sunday for the television show on Fox 2 at 8:30 a.m. in the morning. But we have a couple of very fine fellows filling in this evening on the Voice of St. Louis. Braxton Payne with Show Me Victories. John Hancock Jr., who is taking a week of hiatus as he begins a new job.
Well deserved.
Tell us about the new job, or what you're able to tell us about the new job.
Yeah, so I'm working in commercial real estate, going to CBRE, and I'll be relocating to Chicago for this position.
Now, excited?
Very excited, very excited. You know, love St. Louis. I'll be back for sure, but ready to check out a new city for a couple years.
Now, like, would you be selling real estate, like a real estate agent commercially, or is it more of
I won't be on the broker side.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really can't say a whole lot. It's all of that stuff is confidential, I have learned. And but he's got it. It sounds like a really cool position. So you're moving to Chicago. Now, this is a situation where you're not completely unknowing of people. You've got friends and folks you went to college with that live there.
Yep, yeah, I have some people from high school up there and quite a few people from Mizzou, too.
So that'll be kind of nice. So the question I was wondering, because I've lived here my whole life. I went to graduate school just for a short time in New Jersey, and then I commuted for a couple of years to Columbus, Ohio for work. I did that within the last 10 years. I
remember that.
But St. Louis has been my home my entire life, and I don't suspect I will ever leave here. But if you could work anywhere, live anywhere, is this the place you would choose, Braxton? And if so, why? And if not, why?
The place I would choose, I'm not quite sure. I love St. Louis. I love the affordability of being able to have a home here, you know, eventually raise a family here. I do think there's a lot of benefits in that. And I do know a lot of people born and raised here as well. But if I could choose, you know, salary withstanding to work anywhere, I would probably have to choose New York City.
Really?
Yeah. So I love New York City. I love that there's always something to do. There's always stuff going on. If I could afford it, would love a summer home in the Hamptons. You know, I mean, who wouldn't love that? I don't love the cold weather. So that's something I would have to deal with. I would love, you know, an additional place in South Florida. Love Miami. So I could definitely live there. But if I had to work anywhere, it would be one of those two places for sure.
Fascinating. How about you, John?
I think for me, it would be Orange County, California, either Huntington Beach or Newport Beach. I love the laid-back atmosphere out there. It's incredible. The Pacific Ocean, I prefer strongly over the Atlantic.
That's fair.
Beautiful views. The people, much more laid-back than they are in New York and on the East Coast.
Yeah, I love the meanness.
But what about the wildfires? You got a lot of wildfires.
If salary's not a concern, hopefully close enough to the ocean, that's not gonna be a problem.
What about you, John? Where would you, if you had to live anywhere but also work, so you're not just, you know, kicking your feet up.
Yeah, you know, the politics of California would be a turnoff for me.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's very expensive there. The taxes are high. The government's very liberal. You know, I've spent a little time in Texas. I kind of like Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my brother lives in North Carolina, and he's got a really sweet deal. He just bought a home in the mountains of the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is one of the most beautiful spots in this country. That would be kind of cool as well. And now, you know, with telecommuting, people aren't going into the office
like they used to work from wherever. Mm-hmm.
And you work from home.
Yeah, for the most part.
Many days.
Yeah.
John, you've been working from home for months now, or maybe over a year now. So, and I've worked from home since before the pandemic, and I love it. I mean, the convenience of it and so forth. So, assuming that you could live anywhere, and my business partner lives in Jefferson City.
Right.
So, we're not even together.
Yeah. I think another city of the two would be, like you said, North Carolina is Charleston. If you've ever been to South Carolina,
yes, Charleston.
I mean, that
great.
Is, you talk about, you know, if you're worried about taxes or anything like that, they're not there in Charleston. And it has, I mean, the food scene in Charleston is one of the best that you'll see in the country.
What about abroad, London or Paris?
So I've only been to London. I could definitely do London. It's like New York. But if I had to pick anywhere in Europe, it would for sure be Greece. I mean,
really?
Or south of France. I mean, the lifestyle there. I mean, where we stayed, the places, like I was talking about my honeymoon earlier in Lefkada, they're only open from May 15th to October 15th. And then they all go on unemployment for those winter months and they just live the life. I mean, it's a much slower pace. You know, the food's great. I could definitely see myself. If I had to pick a place, it would be south of France or Greece for sure.
I think I'd go Warsaw. I've heard great things about the club scene and, you know, the Polish people. I know a few. They're great. Seem always a fun time.
Now, PJ over here is Polish.
Hey, now.
Have you been to Warsaw?
I've never been to Warsaw, but I studied abroad in Austria, and I took a trip to Krakow, Poland.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then from there, went to a small town called Oświęcim, which is actually the home of Auschwitz, the concentration camp. So it was a very impactful trip. And I met up with some like distant Polish cousins. I went with my uncle, who's crazy obsessed with genealogy. He tracked down some long-lost Polish cousins, and we had a home-cooked dinner at their house. It was amazing.
Stan Musial was Polish.
Yes, he was.
Of course, the greatest cardinal.
If you could live anywhere abroad and not work, like this is just, you know, you're able just to live off the land
thing. I'd go to London. London. Or Essex. I'd be over in
So no place there where you couldn't speak the language?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to learn, you know.
What about if you had to go somewhere like in the Caribbean or down south or not Europe?
Nicaragua.
Oh,
you know, you've got beautiful land, very cheap down there.
It's very cheap. And Belize is also very cheap.
Yeah, right. And you got a lot of beachfront property available. I've heard you can live for next to nothing down there. You eat and the people take good care of you. If you take good care of them, they take good care of you.
There's these videos of people that are like, you know, backpackers that go to the Caribbean and they try to live, you know, off $1.50 a day.
Yeah.
And they pretty much can do it. What about you, Junior?
Buenos Aires, Argentina was my fallback plan if things hit the fan here, but they've been hit by just a rampant run of hyperinflation. So that's maybe Santiago, Chile.
There's this place that I've been able to vacation at. It's this island called Mystique. Owned by
the British government, right?
It's owned by a corporation
now,
in Britain.
Okay.
Yes. So it's part of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, but the island has actually kind of not annexed, but it's owned by a private corporation. So the whole island is run by this corporation and based in London. And it's absolutely amazing. Tommy Hilfiger has a house there. Mick Jagger, I saw him when I was down there. He owns a home there. There's about 60 homes on the whole island. It's absolutely unbelievable. And you got to get there by one of those planes that just has, you know, six seats in it. But it's definitely in the whole island, you pretty much get around by a golf cart. I mean,
well, I'm not going to leave this country. I think it's the greatest country in the history of the world. And PJ, you mentioned Auschwitz earlier. And so I think I'll leave us with this story. I had dinner with a St. Louis dermatologist a few weeks ago, and he was telling me the story of his mother, who was taken prisoner by the Nazis, placed in a concentration camp. Brutalized and near death. And in May of 1945, the 71st Infantry Battalion of the United States Army liberated that concentration camp, and she was freed. She was given a Hershey bar by the U.S. troops. She was 19. Given a Hershey bar by the U.S. troops, the first food she'd had in years, and fell in love with this country. And went back to her home in Czechoslovakia, which soon fell under communist domination by Russia. Got married. She and her husband were both physicians, but very poor because it was a communist country. And their kids were not able to go on to school because they were suspect because both parents were educated. And in the dark of night, at midnight, they escaped Czechoslovakia through Yugoslavia. Eventually ended up in Sweden, eventually ended up in New York City, where young George, her 10-year-old son at the time they left, went to college at New York University, went to medical school, moved to St. Louis at Washington University, became a physician, a very good one here in town. And he explains that he grew up under a communist regime and experienced true freedom for the first time in his life in the United States of America and set up a medical practice, raised a family, considers this the greatest country in the history of the world. I do too. And I won't be leaving her anytime soon.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, there's remarkable stories like that everywhere in this country.
I mean, I have many friends that are, you know, Bosnian immigrants, that you know, first generation my age, and they're, you know, going over to their house and talking to their parents about what they experienced.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of them speak four or five languages, and it's just absolutely insane.
Now home to a growing number of Afghan refugees as well. Braxton Payne, thank you so much for your time. John Hancock,
thank you.
Great to have you on board this evening.
Yep.
Matt Pajeski, thank you as well. Stick around to listen to the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.